Oh, it's always a good day when we are live at Target Field. Jason DeRussia in the outfield along with Dan Cook. Laura back at the studio keeping you up to date on the news. And we're so glad to have you with us on this Friday. Just like so many of you are in the car, on your way to the cabin, on your way up north, thinking about what you're going to do with your family this weekend. We are thinking about a weekend of home baseball. One of the marquee pitching matchups in the major leagues going to be happening here at Target Field tonight. Plus, Nelly. I mean, come on.
I'm not trying to knock anybody's cabin. I hope they have a really wonderful time. We're at the nicest place in the state of Minnesota tonight. This is the place to be.
Period. How about that? That's a bold...
I'm declaring it.
All right. I mean, I could disagree with you.
You usually do.
But I don't have a cabin, so, and they let me in here. No one's let me into their cabin. So, so far, Target Field has the advantage. Coming up at 3:30, we are going to talk with the general manager of the Minnesota Twins. Obviously, it's a critical time for the team. Are they going to be sellers at the trade deadline? What pieces do they have to put up? I don't know. They've been playing pretty well lately. They're just right on that edge. It's not where you... I guess it's better than being in the tank, but it is a tricky situation.
Well, and with three wild cards, that keeps a lot of teams in contention, and that makes the market even tighter. And when you look at the schedule coming up after the All-Star break, you got teams like Colorado. You got some other teams on there that are not. I mean, the Dodgers are in there, too. They're obviously a great baseball team. But it's not exactly a murderer's row that they're playing between the All-Star break and the end of the month when the trade deadline happens. So the Twins have a chance to make some hay.
We're going to have a lot of show for you as well, and I want to start with this question because more and more people, and I got texts today from friends who worked at Target who are getting called back to work, and my friend who texted me wanted to know if I was celebrating because I have been vocal about the fact that our business community and our government has largely abandoned the downtown core. Minneapolis and St. Paul are less safe today because there are fewer people walking around. And my view is that the number one person or number one outfit to blame for that is government, because these are taxpayer-supported employees and offices that have abandoned and partially led to the reduction in property tax value that's going to cost all of us more money. Target has also been the object of some of my frustration because for years they were praised as like some sort of special super citizen, right? Like I'm in the field that has their name on it. Right across the street, you've got their name on Target Center. They have always been more than just a company here, and over the last several years, I think they sort of have been acting just like a company. Well, today news came out that just yesterday they've called a lot of their workers back to work. But there's one worker that is not getting called back to the office, at least not in the same way and not in the way that you would conventionally think about the leader. And I want to know, like, how much does this upset you if your CEO lives out of state? There are Minnesota companies where the CEO is a registered voter in Florida. There is a Minnesota company where the CEO lives in the New Jersey, New York City area. If you get called back to work and your boss lives somewhere else, are you ticked? Because I would be. 651-461-9226. I would be livid about the fact that as a regular employee who has to pay for parking, who doesn't have the executive parking lot, who doesn't have the nanny at home, who doesn't have the fancy dining room, and I got to pay for my lunch. If the boss lives out of town, I would be extremely irritated. Star Tribune said on top of it, a lot of the research indicates where the CEO lives has a correlation with the performance of the company. that sort of surprised me. I think, like, if you are a good leader, you know, if you go home on the weekend to New Jersey, who cares? But if you're making me come to work, I sort of want you to be like interacting with the community. I think it's kind of crappy, and it leads to this idea that like these CEOs are somehow superhuman and they get the rules and the salaries that are out of the stratosphere. To me, I would be annoyed. Now, here at CCO, we work for a massive company, and obviously, like, their corporate headquarters are not here, so I don't care where my... I'm sure our CEO is great. I couldn't give two rips about our CEO, to be honest. It doesn't affect, other than I hope it's a good person, and I hope the company's in a good direction, but it doesn't impact my life at all. Maybe that's how you feel if you're at Target or Ameriprise, where the CEOs live out of state. I would be annoyed, though, especially if I'm being called into work. That, to me, would be like, all right, I'll come back to work if you move to Minnesota. Right? Like, wouldn't this annoy you?
I don't know if I'd be so annoyed about wherever their, you know, address is for tax purposes. But if I'm being called back to the office, then you better be in an office somewhere. Like, you know, in our case, wherever the Odyssey corporate headquarters is, if I was working in that corporate headquarters and there was a rule about how many days of the week I had to be in the office, the CEO better have their tail end in that office that many days too.
Right.
So, you know, if you live out of state, I don't really care. Fly
so
back
you don't care. No. You don't care if the CEO lives in Cincinnati.
Nope. It's just a matter of whether they're in the office or not. They better be. You know, if whatever the rules about working from home are for the little folks.
Yeah.
The rules should apply to the big folks, too. That's the fair part of it for me.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that part of the way America is set up is that companies are expected to be participants in the community more
sure.
than just you're just running your business. You're expected to be involved. You're expected. And the reason for that is good business, because the stronger your community is, the happier your employees are, and then your company is going to be better off because of it. Texters. One texter saying, as an employee, not in my job description to support your local coffee shop, can I make you come to my neighborhood to support my stores? I will say, like, I don't want to derail this and turn this into a what's the benefit of working from home or working from the office. But I do think that the work-from-home crowd, you guys are the biggest babies on the face of the earth. And if you think the only point of having people back in the office is to support one coffee shop in downtown, get a life. The point of coming back to work and being together is that we have first, there's a corporate benefit to it. And that, you know, I don't care about whether it's better for the company or not. None of my business. But the corporate benefit to me is, when you're seeing people, there is just a different energy that happens in the workplace. There's a different connection you feel as an employee to the company. If you work from home, you're just a contractor getting a check. Somebody offers you 50 cents more an hour, you go work for somebody else. There's something different that happens when you work as a part of a team. That's the corporate mission. My interest in this is that we have these downtowns that have all of these buildings, that have all of this investment. So many businesses have made downtown, the central business district, have made it part of their livelihood. And I don't think it's right for big companies and for the county and the state to say, screw you. I don't. And I think it's curious that the people who are most addicted to work from home also are the most collectivist and socialist when it comes to government policies. Why aren't you? What happened to all for everybody? Make it every. It's all about me when it comes to work from home, but it's all about everybody else when it comes to, you know, tax policy, public transit, on and on. I just think it's like it's preposterous. All right, I didn't want to get derailed, and now
look at you now.
Look at me now. Look at me now. Do you care about the boss, where they live? Lethal on YouTube says, couldn't care less. I'm there for a paycheck, not the management. I get that, too. I would be particularly irritated if I were being called back in. I think that is the bigger factor for me. It's 319. Keep the calls and texts coming. 651-461-9226. It is going to be a busy weekend with road construction. Check before you go anywhere. JP will keep you updated all afternoon on our CCO traffic as we take you wherever you're going on a Friday here on Drive Time. I mean, to a certain degree, I understand the people like Chris who are saying my boss can live where they want as long as I'm treated right and paid what I feel I'm worth, then who cares? It is sort of interesting. Like, that is the logical approach, right, Dan? I mean, that is, it's hard to argue with that. It makes sense. And emotionally, this is more of an emotional reaction, I think, as an employee. I want my boss to be in the trenches with me, and I want them to be there on the weekend. I don't want them to be at work, and then on Friday, fly home to wherever. And I do think part of why you look at Target, and not to single them out, but I will, because they're the largest employer in downtown Minneapolis. They had 7,100 people. At one point, I think they had 8,000 people in downtown Minneapolis. If the CEO lived here, don't you think people would have been called back to work before now? I do. I think the fact that he lived in Florida made it real hard to tell people they had to get back to the office. I think it was a major, major difference. If you live in this community, you feel the loss in a different way, I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my view on it.
I think an important part of leadership is not asking your employees to do anything you're not willing to do. Mm. And that's my feeling when it comes to the fairness of, if you're going to ask employees to be back in the office 3-4 days a week, whatever it is, then you as the CEO or you as the leader of the group need to be in the office 3-4 days a week. And, you know, again, corporations that are spread out all across the country, obviously the CEO can't be in every office, but wherever the headquarters is, I mean, whatever, you know, the main office is, they need to be there. Again, for me personally, I don't care what they do on the weekends. But, for, you know, if you're asking me to be in the office 3-4 days a week, I think you as a leader need to be in there.
Texter's saying, I'm at work to make money, not friends, so I could care less about the CEO and upper management. Frankly, I'd be happier if they weren't hanging around the workplace.
I get that sentiment. That is
the cook approach for sure. That's how I felt when I was anchoring the morning news, for sure. Jason, the CEO can send workers to the office the same way a general can send soldiers to the front. Those who actually lead from the front are rare. It's sort of interesting. If you're not interacting with the CEO on a day-to-day basis, what would it matter? Most employees are way down the food chain that they don't even know who the CEO is. Another texture, I'd love to be in the office. And the boss not to be. Have you guys considered that you work for terrible people? This may not be the correct approach when it comes to the way to run a company, but you might work for jerks. It's possible. I'm just saying. For school districts, a texture says, it's very important for superintendents and principals to live in that community, especially in rural areas. I wonder if we have a different attitude about this when it comes to public employees. Because remember the outcry when we had the Hennepin County director of the library?
Libraries, yeah.
And the library's director was, again, living in Florida. Also, side note, interesting how these people keep going to Florida.
I wonder why that is.
But the library person who was there, and people were sort of annoyed by that, right?
More than sort of.
Now, could you run the library effectively from somewhere else?
Possibly.
Possibly. I think that, you know, the question about a CEO living somewhere else, you know, everybody is making me reconsider whether I'm being unfair about this. My general view is that if you were hired to work in accounting, theoretically, you could. So, like, theoretically, you could live in North Dakota and fly to work and work here Monday through Friday and fly back home to North Dakota.
Yes.
And nobody would really care.
Nope.
But the accountant isn't making decisions that affect the wider community. Now, if you're a CEO of a 50-person company, maybe it doesn't matter as much. If you're the CEO, the biggest employer in the state, asking to be treated like you're something like a civic contributor, I guess I just wish you lived here.
I hear you.
I wish you lived here.
I mean, obviously, there's going to be some variance, right? Because not all businesses are the same. And, you know, whether you're dealing with, you know, a public entity versus a private entity versus the biggest employer in the state.
Yeah.
There's going to be a difference, you know, for each of those. But there's a, I think there's a general rule or general idea that I think we can all agree on that, you know, let's be in this thing together. I don't, you know, I don't need the CEO hovering over my shoulder.
That's
saying
No, no, no. I'm
saying if I have to be in the office, they should leave by being in the office.
Yeah.
If you were my boss, I'd come in, says the texter. Am I hiring? I wish I were.
Yeah.
I wish we had more people here, for sure. OMG, get over yourself with this return to office crap. People in cubicles are depressed. I have this all wrong. I think people who work from home have convinced themselves that they're not depressed. And there are exceptions. There are people who work Look, here's the hypocrisy of this. My wife works from home and has for 15 years. And there are days that she's like, you know, I wish I had a workplace. I wish I had a team that I could hang out with, that I could get to know, whatever. Is she a tremendous employee? Clearly, because the company made an exception for her to work remotely. The reality is it doesn't matter what we all want. And this is no surprise that eventually people were going to come back to work.
Yeah.
Because the bosses want people to come back to work. 3:30, let's break. It is Friday. We got a great matchup, Pirates and Twins, here at Target Field tonight. How about we talk with the Twins general manager? You've got questions? You're ready to take questions from the people, right? Jeremy's ready. Text him at 651-461-9226. We're at Target Field. We'll talk Twins baseball in just a minute. Here in the home of the Twins, this is Drive Time with DeRussia on CCO. All right, Drive Time with DeRussia live at Target Field. Big matchup tonight. If you love pitching, man, you know what's going to happen tonight. It's going to be like 7-5, and we're going to be like, what happened to this pitching duel that we're all excited to see tonight? Joe Ryan on the mound, all-star for the Minnesota Twins, against really one of the best pitchers in major. Well, these are two of the best pitchers in the majors. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement to see Paul Skeens on the mound out here for the Pirates tonight, too. So it should be a pitcher's duel followed by a concert. Jeremy Zoll is the general manager of the Minnesota Twins. These are the fun days to be out here, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you said it. Two of the best pitchers in the game getting to go against each other on a Friday night. Weather's working in our favor. It's going to be a great night at the park. Byron Buxton back in the lineup. Nelly concert after the game.
Are you a Nelly guy?
That's a no. I'm getting a Nelly guy growing up. Sure.
All right.
My wife's coming. We're excited. We're excited for the concert.
It is a funny thing. Like, you see, like, a lot of the players, they bring their wives or their girlfriends or their family. It is, now, a lot of these players are pretty young to remember the Nelly era.
I think a lot of them were born around the time that his hits were coming out. So, we have to overcome that. But
well, pardon the Nelly reference, but, you know, in the front offices of every team, it is getting hot in her right now. Was that good? Was that like
that
very
well
morning news anchors well down there? Yes. You know, I think you're probably being asked this at the grocery store. Are the Twins going to be buyers or are they going to be sellers?
Yeah, I think it's a totally fair question. And, you know, from our perspective, we want to play this out as long as we can, given that the third wild card exists and, you know, really just a handful of games out. I feel like the schedule's favorable for us over this next stretch. Really want to, you know, take as much time as we can to evaluate everything so we can make the best decisions that we can come, you know, the final 3, 4, 5 days leading into the deadline, which is when 95% of the trades are made anyway.
Right now, Byron Buxton is out on the field taking the batting practice in the style of the Home Run Derby. So they take, they're blasting the music to recreate sort of the vibe.
We got a timer going. We got a timeout break timer. We got the counter for a number of homers he hits. We did this the other day, too, on Wednesday, I believe. So
they take the cage away because
there's
no cage. Normal BP, you have a cage.
Give Tommy Watkins the best visual he can for, because there's an art to being the BP pitcher as well.
Well, that's what I always think about. Like, we look at these home run derby winners, and you think, man, like, unbelievable. But the pitcher deserves the same amount of credit, right? Like, you can't just sort of lob it in there because it doesn't come in at enough velocity to send the ball flying.
No doubt. There's a pace to it that you got to put in the right location. You got to make sure you're meeting the guy.
That sure wasn't it. That was a low fastball.
Tommy's feeling the weight of the world on his shoulders heading into Atlanta, but this is why we practice. It's not just for Byron. But good opportunity for everyone to get the right feel of things.
There's a pretty good rip. That one's gone. So pretty fun.
It's great. It's great.
How good is this for the organization? I mean, obviously to have Joe in it, have Byron. There's a home run right to us.
I'm going to have to keep my head on a swivel here. All right.
That one almost knocked Dan Cook in the head. That was right back at us. I do sometimes wonder if these guys... you know, if they're targeting, if they can see anybody in the outfield, if it's coming at us.
We'll have Nina protect us. We'll be in good shape.
This is a pretty good souvenir right there. There's a Byron BP home run. That's pretty fun. This is great for the Twins, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Byron, what a season he's had. Really excited for him. We talked about it during the offseason. It was his first normal offseason, no offseason procedures. Came in healthy. Obviously, missed a little bit of time with the concussion during this season, but, you know, you see the impact it's had for him to feel like his body's full go, the talent that he has, and that all coming to fruition. So, super well-deserved and really excited he gets to do all this in Atlanta, home state, and all that.
It's pretty cool. Jeremy Zola is the general manager for the Minnesota Twins. So, obviously, you know, you talked about being within reach of that third wild card slot. When you're running scenarios, and you, I assume in your job, you just have to run all the scenarios. We're buyers, we're sellers. Being in contention for that third spot, as a fan, I have mixed feelings about it. It's like, well, you're in the playoffs. You don't want to sell for parts, you know, when you're in that scenario. And also, when you're in the third slot, like, it's not exactly like you're lighting things on fire. Maybe you should look at that opportunity. Mm-hmm. To sell. I don't know. It's
tricky. Absolutely. I think, you know, to your point,
is that demoralizing
we're
to the
gonna
fans?
We're going to evaluate all scenarios to be as when you're in this position, you got to be prepared to evaluate every single scenario that could come up by the time we need to actually make decisions. So that's something that is very much on our mind, you know, as these next couple weeks come to fruition. You know, everyone wants to have a chance to compete in the playoffs, and we know that once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. And, you know, talked about Joe Ryan already today. He's having an unbelievable season. Pablo Lopez, we expect to have him back approximately around, you know, a little after the trade deadline, somewhere in that range. So when you look at Pablo, Joe, knowing what they could do in a playoff series, never mind the rest of the group, you know, you'd love to have those opportunities.
You'd love to have
And that's what you're trying to set yourself up for, if at all possible.
All of this has to happen, like, in the last couple days before the deadline, right?
Yeah, it does. It really does. You know, obviously we have the draft this week. It leads into the All-Star break. Coming out of the All-Star break, you know, that's when conversations will start to really pick up around the deadline, and we will spend some real time having deeper conversations with teams. But it's in that last 3, 4, 5 days when, you know, you feel like you're either getting traction or not on anything.
Do we have any real, you know, seeing Byron practice here makes me feel good about the injury he had the other day.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about some of the other players that we're watching with injuries? Bailey or Zebby or Pablo?
Yeah, we're a lot of positive updates there. Pablo, you know, we're hopeful early August is seeming like he should be generally tracking for that. He has the most milestones left to hit, just given the severity of his injury. But, you know, more updates to come as he starts to take down bullpens and whatnot. Zebby Matthews is set to go on a rehab assignment on Sunday. He threw a live BP here on Tuesday, and that all went well. So we're feeling really encouraged about his progress. Bailey Ober has a live BP on tomorrow on Saturday, so he's tracking well as well.
Oh, keep your eyes out for that one. There's another home run. We're up to 7 home runs here in our 3 minute. It's been sort of a slow pace, so seven dingers in this is pretty darn good. You know, I want to ask you about some of the young guys that you're keeping an eye on. Obviously, everybody is looking at, you know, are we going to be buyers? Are we going to be sellers? Trade deadline. But this time of year, you also start to see some of the AAA players that are making an impact, and we get the chance here with the team right in St. Paul to see it. Is there anybody that's impressing you that you're excited about?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a number of guys playing really well in St. Paul. Start with Marco Raya, hit an awesome start last night. He started the year, took his lumps early on. He was working through some stuff, not throwing as many strikes as he was is hoping to be, but his last 4 or 5 starts, he's really hit his stride. Still super young, a whole lot of promise. So that's really been encouraging. Eddie Julian's been playing really well. Obviously struggled early in the year, but feeling like he's starting to hit his stride again. Emmanuel Rodriguez is just returned from the IL, and he's off and running again. Homer the other night. And then another name I'll highlight here, Aaron Sabato, first rounder back in 2020. He got stuck in Double A for a couple years, and then this year he really found another gear, performed really well in Double A, and he's performed really nicely in Triple A over the last couple weeks here. Really excited for Aaron as well.
Jeremy Soule, your focus and keeping it together during that crazy loud home run derby moment was quite impressive.
There's a lot happening. Bucket like 5 homers in the last 20 seconds, yeah. And we got the buck truck sound alarm. So there was a lot happening there.
I was going to ask if you wanted to do a home run call. If you ever, there was a point in your life where you thought you would be that play-by-play guy.
I'm like, you know, the idea when you watch, back, but it's, right. Man, it's hard. I don't envy people that are constantly on the air, so it's a tough job.
And when you're wrong,
yeah.
when you're winding up for the call and it doesn't quite work out, it's never
very quick to end up on social media.
That's
these
right.
Days too.
That's right.
A little easier a little while back.
All right, tonight, Nelly. We know that they like closed off the usual. They closed off like the little lunchroom where the reporters usually go have food here to be like.
I've heard that because of the draft prep room's right next door, and we're not allowed to use the restrooms in that room now.
So if you had a rider like you, big time Jeremy Soule, where you get to say in my dressing room, I want this. What would be in your rider? What snack? What drink? what would you want in there?
Oh man, what snacks and drinks would I want? Well, that's a good. We're hitting all the favorites right now because draft room week is often there's a lot of
similar deal,
that's
right?
Going on.
So what's your go-to?
The peanut M&Ms get hit pretty hard.
Yeah,
Dots pretzels are always a favorite for mid-afternoon snack. So hard to go wrong there. And we hit the non-alcoholic seltzers, LaCroix, Bubblies, all the flavors. So need to make sure I have a good stash of that, but I don't know. I don't really discriminate when it comes to
it's pretty
comes
low
to
maintenance.
Yeah,
it's pretty low maintenance.
I try to be low maintenance.
I like it. I know sort of the go-to is always like you pick a color of M&Ms to make to make them go through the whole thing and get it out of there. Pretty fun. What this weekend, you know, we've got this homestand. And then do you work around the clock or do you get out of here and get some family time before it really gets to be crunch time?
So with the draft moving, you know, going back before 5 years ago and earlier, the draft used to be in June and the All-Star break was kind of a clear demarcation point. Now the first round of the draft is Sunday night, second round. There used to be the last few years there's been day 2 and day 3, which were Monday and Tuesday. Now they've made Sunday night will be the first couple rounds, and then Monday will be rounds 3 through 20. So once we get through that, we'll still have to work through signing all the players and getting them all to Fort Myers for post-draft mini camp. But after we get through Monday night, then try to take a couple days down with the family Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and enjoy a little bit of a reset after a really busy push, knowing there's another big push coming heading into the trade deadline there.
How is this draft class? How is the talent?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how at the very top of the draft there hasn't been those consensus top handful of picks like there have been in other years. Not sure exactly what to make of that or not. We feel like where maybe that hasn't been as clear about who are the top handful of picks, there is really nice depth. So in a year that we're picking 16 and 36, we actually feel feel pretty good about that and excited about the players that we're talking about in that range.
Jeremy Zoll, appreciate it. Really good conversation. Let's hope for the matchup that we expect tonight, right?
Yeah, appreciate you having me on and really looking forward to a great night at Target Field.
All right, we'll have it here on the radio on CCO pregame starting at 6 o'clock. Drive Time back in just a minute here on CCO. We are at Target Field, and it is going to be a toasty night for sure. Low temperature tonight, 68. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers, high of 79. Sunday looking hot, 87 degrees. Right now it's cloudy and 85 on CCO. We are live at Target Field. Dan is here. I've got the Byron Buxton live home run derby practice ball right out here. Thanks to Nina Zimmerman from the Twins who chased that down. After.
It just about went down the ramp, she said, so she cut it off.
The news side of that is if Byron is out there taking home run derby practice, that is a very good sign. We were concerned about the injury.
Right. He got hit on the hand. X-rays had obviously that night came back negative, so that thing was good there. But, yeah, if he's out taking cuts, that means he's probably feeling pretty good. We'll see if he's in the lineup tonight.
All right. The lineup should be announced within, I don't know, usually we see that over the next half hour or so. Game tonight, first pitch is
7:10. So pregame on CCO is 6:30. Steve Thompson will fill
in. Little
you
half hour for Stevie.
Yep, from 6 to 6:30.
Very good. Oh. You know, the worst thing about being here at the pregame is right behind us is a vendor who starts cooking onions.
Grilling the onions up.
Grilling on the flat top.
For the hot dogs, you can see right over my shoulder here.
And now we're all hungry. That's sort of how that goes. Card D Sharks coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll take two contestants next.